This holiday season, lots of people will be donating to charity, giving gifts to people they don't know, but not many will be quite as generous as Terry Thede of Normal, who gave her kidney to a total stranger. Thede met that stranger the day before Thanksgiving at Loyola Medical Center, where Thede jump-started a living donor kidney exchange that resulted in three transplants performed simultaneously in August. WGLT's Colleen Reynolds was there and sat down with Thede, her kidney recipient, 72-year-old Vietnam veteran Bill Parra, and his wife, Paula. Paula also donated her kidney as part of what's called paired donations. Thede says she was more nervous to meet the recipient than for the surgery itself.
I think with the surgery, it was a little more distant. I mean, it was a medical procedure. There were medical professionals. But to hear the real story and meet the person behind it, I think there's just naturally going to be more emotion there.
And how was it to meet your recipient?
It was great. And to hear his story, I was grateful to hear that he hadn't actually had to go on dialysis and that his recovery's gone fairly smooth. So it was good. I had kind of done a little bit of internet research ahead of time, so I knew a little bit about him because I'd heard a name once I saw the press release. But yeah, it was great to meet him and his family.
So you were like a detective doing some Googling, huh?
Absolutely. I mean, everyone, I think, does that these days. And so once I saw the press release, that was the first time I'd seen the names. So yeah, we were immediately checking things online on Facebook and the internet.
And William, what does it feel like to meet this woman who really gave you a second chance at life?
You want me to cry, don't you? I can't even explain it. It just, you know, I get emotional on stuff like this. You know, there's some things that I'm very hard at, but something like this. And then when I looked at her I just said, this can't be the one, because I just had a completely different picture of this lady. You know, I'm not a computer person. I know I didn't investigate anything. So I really didn't investigate who gave me what. But I did not expect Terry. And she said, the first thing she said to me, she goes, "Your wife is so beautiful." And I said, "So are you?" I said, "You're beautiful." And I meant that beautiful person that gave me a kidney. And I told the news media guy here, he asked me what would I say if I saw you? And I said that you're going to go to heaven. You know, when you're in the service and you read in the Bible, there's no greater sacrifice than someone giving something, their life, to somebody else. And that's what you did to me.
I'm sure that all of you have a different kind of feeling this Thanksgiving. I'm going to start with you, Terry.
I think hearing all the stories today about how ill a lot of the recipients were and their families and their situations, and knowing there's so many more out there like that. I mean, I'm grateful that I was able to do this, that my health was such that I could do it, and that no one in my family is in a position at this point in our lives that would need this kind of medical care. So I think it's really highlighted that, you know, I've kind of lived in this bubble of health, for lack of a better phrase, and to know that there's so many people who need things that we can give them if we just reach out and make the effort.
And William, what about you?
I'm a very grateful person, but not so as I am today. When we had our Thanksgiving a couple weeks ago, I stood at the table and I wanted to say all this thanks that I couldn't say, that I'm saying today. I just said a real short prayer and, you know, thanks for everything. But I was thinking about this person who gave me my kidney, or her kidney, to me. There is no greater gift, no greater Thanksgiving than today.
We should bring Paula in, who is your wife, who attempted to donate to you but was not able.
That's correct.
So she donated to a young man. So Paula, talk a little bit about what it felt like today when you met your recipient.
I was very touched. I have a son, or we have a son that's 34 years old, and Vitelli also is 34. He has an 8-year-old daughter. My son has a 7-year-old daughter. So there was just so much connection there, and I was really grateful that when I said, "Don't worry, hon, you're going to be fine because I'm going to donate my kidney." I didn't give it too much thought who would get it. I just knew it would be for the good, you know, but meeting him was even just an extra special, you know, blessing to see that it was for someone who was young and really needed it. And now it's he lives in the Ukraine, and so I told my husband, I said, my kidney will be abroad all the time. So, you know, it was just very, very touching.
Terry, I have to ask, what motivated you to make such a sacrifice to a stranger?
Well, I guess, first of all, to me, the word sacrifice is pretty strong because, I mean, it's a well-tuned medical procedure. And I don't want to be cold and calculating about it, but I'd certainly want to take away the stigma that this isn't something anyone could try and do. When I first heard about a little boy on the internet, a story was circulating, a friend of a friend posted a story, and his name was the same as one of my nephews. So that story kind of grabbed me. And I went through the testing in Cincinnati and was approved to donate to him, and then that surgery didn't happen. But I had been completely cleared for surgery, so I wanted to just take my kidney and go to, you know, a little bit closer transplant hospital. But I think the why, it's really easy to feel very divided. I think it's a very divisive environment right now. And medical procedures have just never scared me. Needles don't frighten me. And I think if that's a gift I was given, I felt like that was one I could share. I know people who just really could not physically go through this, and that's fine. But I think there's always ways to help, either through education or advocacy. And I mean, I really hope to do that moving forward, to help people understand that I think one misconception is that you can only donate to someone who you are blood related to. And that's clearly not the case. I'm not at all related to Bill. So, I mean, I think there are some things circulate that make people think I could never do this when actually you probably could.
You mentioned we're a divided society right now. How does this address your concern about that?
Right. Well, when I first learned about organ donation at all, it was through Facebook. So it was a social media that told me that this was even an option. Yet it's also that same social media that people can just express an opinion and then walk away with no consequence or no support. And so I think this was a real life, like I could do something that wasn't just a comment on the internet or wasn't just a post that I left behind. I mean, it was something that really, I hope, made a difference that that now I want to let other people know they could do the same thing.
Being the recipient of a kidney from a total stranger, has that given you a new perspective on not only life, but the world?
I always thought this, but I never became a realization to me that there are good people in the world. Good-hearted, heartfelt people that care about other people who may not be related or know somebody. I'm a total stranger, and she reached out to me and touched my life. How would you explain that other than she has a heart? She has a heart for people.
And I bet you didn't ask her who she voted for president, did you?
No, I don't care. I don't care who she voted for. We could be a better place if everybody was like Terry. Our country would be better.
Are you crying now, no. Terry?
No, I mean, that seems like such a strong statement, but I do think it shows that if you're willing to step out of your comfort zone and stop just labeling people for what you think they are, who they voted for, or whatever, I think, like Bill said, we would all grow a lot closer rather than feeling so separated from each other.
How much research did you do before making the decision?
Well, at the time when I read the story, I did look up things and kind of checked out University of Cincinnati statistics to find out that they were indeed a really great transplant facility. And I did the same before I reached out to the hospitals in Chicago. So I did quite a bit. There are several, multiple Facebook boards for both kidney recipients and kidney donors. Some have both. So I knew going in what some post-operative symptoms or outcomes might be. So I was well prepared. I knew what to bring to the hospital. I knew what to have ready at home. So I think, you know, there's a wealth of information out there for people who are interested in this process.
And how did you feel after surgery? Did you have any bad side effects?
I really didn't. I mean, I went home after one night here at Loyola, and I mean, there was certainly pain at the incision site. I wasn't, you know, sleeping on my side or on my stomach for a few weeks, but it was certainly manageable. I was sent home with narcotic pain relievers that I think I only used for one day after I got home, and then I was just using Tylenol. So I was lucky with the post-operative symptoms. I mean, they can exist, and Loyola had prepared me for some that I never experienced.
Are you worried about what happens in the future if, let's say, you develop diabetes, which is very hard on the kidneys, and now you only have one? Did you think about the future?
I tend to not think about the future, I guess, a whole lot. That may not be a safe way to process life, but I guess I figured that if, you know, hopefully there would be someone there that would help me. I mean, I obviously have tried and take good care of myself. I've change some habits and certainly want to avoid any type of diabetic symptoms. But I think it's just made me more aware of my own health. But I guess I just feel like if that time ever comes, that there'll be someone there to help.
How long will you have to do checkups, and so what was laid out for you?
Well, I had a visit about 2 weeks after the surgery, and then 3 months, and then I'll have one at 6 months, 1 year, and 2 years. And those are, my understanding is that's kind of mandated by the National Organ Donation Organization that tracks donations. But, I mean, my local physician is aware of the situation, so they're aware that if there are any complications or what medicines I should and should not take as someone who only has one kidney. But Loyola made very clear what type of follow-up visits I would have when I went into this.
Will this wind up costing you money?
The surgical costs were completely covered. I did have some travel expenses back and forth, but even there are grants available that can assist donors with expenses. I also had some great friends who stepped up and kind of provided me with a fund that helped with some of the travel expenses and our hospital stay while we were here for the surgery. So there are resources available, but as far as any of the medical testing and medical costs, there was no out-of-pocket to me.
Are you a religious person, and do you feel like God had a hand in any of this?
Yes, I do. I think we're all called to do something that's a little bit bigger than what we think we can do. And for me, this was that thing. So I do believe that the timing was all, you know, not just coincidental. I think everything worked the way it did for a reason.
You're listening to Sound Ideas, and we're talking with Terry Thede, who in August was part of a kidney donation chain at Loyola Medical Center in Maywood, and she met her recipient, Bill Parra, for the first time today. Bill, why did you need a kidney transplant?
I have Agent Orange, and it affects the whole body, the heart, the eyes. I've had two minor amputations on my foot. I had a couple of burst knuckles removed, and one on each foot. I have a plate. I have a Charcot foot. It's all from Agent Orange. So the government sent me a letter about a year ago saying if I was in these battles in Vietnam, I may have been in contact with Agent Orange. You know, and I said, oh, I'll go take a look. So I went to the VA right here, and it was just a whirlwind of physicals, and they said, you have Agent Orange. And because of it, I think, you know, my wife said it was in God's plan. I mean, everything happened so fast. So then my doctor said, I was willing to go on dialysis, and she told me, no, you're at 10%, and at 20 we operate, because you're at 10, but I didn't feel sick. I didn't know I was that sick. I didn't feel it. So it, it's been a long run, you know, through my life because of diabetes, but the transplant journey was short. We started in July of this year, and August 10th, we are operated on. It was that fast. 3 weeks on the waiting list.
That's got to be some sort of record.
They told me it'd be, if anything, would be 6 months to a year before I heard anything. And then they called and said, how does August 10th sound? I said, fine, let's go.
So did you feel like someone was looking out for you?
Well, you know, I consider myself a Christian person, and I just knew it was going to happen. I just had that much faith that I gave it no doubt. I didn't think about it twice. She was a wreck. I wasn't. I just had so much peace. So I was so calm about it. I just knew it was going to be done.
And how is this going to change the quality of your life?
It already has. I'm eating better. I've lost 26 pounds. My life has changed, and I promised my wife that I would never, ever, ever change. I would keep my word and stay healthy.
You mentioned that you have grandchildren, and so this is allowing you to watch them grow up.
Well, as I mentioned earlier on Thanksgiving, when I was giving thanks, but I was giving thanks for my new health. Because of her. I didn't know who it was, but I was giving thanks, but I couldn't tell the rest of my family that how I felt. And I said, I just thank God for everything. Everything in my life, I thank him. The good and the bad, because it's his plan on how things work. And that's how we believe. I believe God directed her to be in my life, and I directed my wife to be in the young man's life. But Terry started it all. Because of her, 6 lives have changed, all for the better.
Terry, you said you don't really like taking that kind of credit.
No, that does feel awkward. I mean, I guess in my mind, my kidney went to one person. I think it really lies in the medical staff. I'm just amazed at how they could do all the matching to make sure that we were compatible. It does highlight the idea again that you don't have to be related to the person that you donate to. So I often thought, while I knew they were working on the chain, what those meetings look like. I just had visions of papers and computers and all of these, you know, pins on a bulletin board moving around to make sure the right person ended up with the right kidney. So I really credit the staff at Loyola for figuring out how to make one kidney turn into 6 surgeries.
Paula, how has this changed your life?
Well, there is an age difference between my husband and I, and I know I want him around for the rest of my life, so it has given me some peace knowing that his health is better. We have 6 grandchildren, and he'll be around a long time to enjoy them as they grow up. So
you exchange phone numbers with your recipient. Do you want to keep in touch?
Oh, yes, definitely. Vitaly is a very nice young man. His wife, not his wife, but his mother, she is so grateful, and I just felt a connection between us three. So, yes.
Bill and Paula and Bill Parra, the kidney donator Terry Thede of Normal, all talked with GLT's Colleen Reynolds. If you'd like to know more about living organ donation at Loyola Medical Center, you can visit loyolamedicine.org and search under transplant. For more general information, go to organdonor.gov. You're listening to Sound Ideas.